must remember that we are here to defend, not to attack or kill." Matthias threw down his staff. He took a dipper of water from an oaken pail, drinking deeply, then splashing the remains over his aching head. "A wise observation, Constance. But you try telling that to Clooney and his horde. See how far you get." Lunch that day was served out in the orchard. Matthias lined up with the other woodland creatures to collect his food. A bowl of fresh milk, a hunk of wheaten loaf, and some goat's milk cheese. Cornflour was serving. She gave Matthias an extra large wedge of the cheese. He rolled up the sleeve of his habit and pulled out the corner of her scarf. "Look, Cornflower. A very close friend gave me this last night." She laughed at him. "Get along and eat your lunch, warrior mouse, or I'll show you my deadly aim with a piece of this cheese." Strolling through the dappled shade of the orchard, Matthias sought out old Methuselah. Slumping down beneath a damson tree, the young mouse munched away at his lunch. Methuselah was sitting with his back against the tree, his eyes closed in an apparent doze. Without opening them, he addressed Matthias.
"How goes the practice war, young stave master?"
Matthias watched some of the tiny ants carrying off his fallen breadcrumbs as he answered. "As well as possible, Brother Methuselah. And how are your studies coming along?" Methuselah squinted over the top of his spectacles.
"Knowledge is a thing that one cannot have enough of. It is the fruit of wisdom, to be eaten carefully and digested fully. Unlike that lunch you are bolting down, little friend."
Matthias set his food to one side. "Tell me, what knowledge have you digested lately, old one?" Methuselah took a sip from Matthias's milk bowl.
"Sometimes I think you have a very old head for such a young mouse. What more do you wish to know about Martin the Warrior?"
Matthias looked surprised. "How did you know I was going to ask about Martin?" Methuselah wrinkled his nose.
"How do the bee folk know there is pollen in a flower? Ask away, young one, before I doze off again."
Matthias hesitated a moment, then blurted out,
"Brother Methuselah, tell me where Martin lies buried."
The old mouse chuckled dryly.
"Next, you are going to ask me where to find the great sword of the warrior mouse."
But how did you know that?" stammered Matthias.
The ancient gatehouse keeper shrugged his thin shoulders.
"The sword must lie buried with Martin. You would have little use for the dusty bones of a bygone hero. A simple deduction, even for one as old as I am."
"Then you know where the warrior lies?"
Methuselah shook his head.
"That is a thing no creature knows. For many long years now, I have puzzled and pored over ancient manuscripts, translating, following hidden trails, always with the same result. Nothing. I have even used my gift of tongues, speaking to the bees and others who can go into places too small for us. But always it is the same. Rumors, legends, and old mouse tales."
Matthias crumbled more bread for the ants.
"Then the warrior's sword is only a fable."
Methuselah leaned forward indignantly.
"Who said that? Did I?
No, but you..."
"Bah! Nothing of the sort, young mouse. Listen carefully to me. I have an uncanny feeling that you may be the one I have been saving this vital piece of information for."
Matthias forgot his lunch. He listened attentively.
"About 4 summers ago, I treated a sparrowhawk who had pulled a sinew in her foot. She could not use her talons properly. As I remember, I made her promise never to take a mouse as prey. She was a fierce, frightening bird. Have you ever been close up to a sparrowhawk? No, of course you haven't. Well, let me tell you, they can hypnotize small creatures with those savage golden eyes. Born killers they are. But this hawk said something that made me think. She talked of the sparrows, called them winged mice, said many years ago they had stolen something from our abbey. A treasure that belonged to the mice. Wouldn't say what it was. Just flew off. Ha! Who expects gratitude from a sparrowhawk anyway?
Matthias interrupted. Have you ever spoken to the sparrows about this something?
Methuselah shook his head.
I'm too old. I can't climb up to the roof where they nest. Besides, the sparrows are odd birds, forever quarrelling and chattering on in their strange voices. They are warlike creatures, extremely forgetful and completely savage. They'd throw you from the roof and kill you before you had a chance to get near their tribal nests. Yes, I'm far too old for that sort of thing, Matthias. And anyhow, I'm not too sure that the sparrowhawk story was true. Some birds can be dreadful liars when they have a mind to be.
Matthias tried questioning Brother Methuselah further, but the warm sun had worked its magic upon the old gatekeeper as he sat in the orchard savoring the peace and tranquillity of a June afternoon. This time there was no deception. He was genuinely fast asleep. Chapter 14. Clouds drifted across the sky, obscuring the thin sliver of moon. The Joseph Bell told out its midnight message to the slumbering countryside. A warm, soft drizzle was falling over the parched meadows and dry woodland, bringing relief after the hot, dry day, damping down the dust from the road. In the ditch, a frog opened its eyes, disturbed by some slight noise from the hedgerow. It blinked. Was that three figures creeping along, or two? The frog remained perfectly still. There seemed to be two figures, and some sort of shadow. The moon came out from behind a cloud. It was two huge rats, and a dark, shadowy something. They crept along under the cover of the hedge towards the big dwelling of the mouse folk. Rats were hunters. Thankfully, they had not noticed him. The frog stayed motionless and let them pass. It was none of his business. Clooney, Ragear, and Shadow padded noiselessly towards Red Wall. This was such an important mission that Clooney had decided to come along and supervise it personally. Around Shadow's waist was strapped a skin pouch. It contained a thin, strong rope, a padded grappling hook, a vial of oil, some lockpicks, and a dagger. Shadow's usual burgling kit. Ragear ambled proudly along, thrilled that he had been specially picked to accompany his chief on such a vital task. Little did he know that Clooney had only included him as an insurance. If they should get into a tight corner, Ragear would serve as an expendable fool. That way Clooney could make good his own escape. The trio halted beneath the lofty abbey walls. Clooney silenced them with a wave of his tail, then vanished into the night. Ragear felt distinctly nervous at being left alone with Shadow. He attempted a whispered conversation.
Nice drops of rain, eh, Shadow? Good for the grass? Blow me, these walls are pretty high. I'm glad it's you climbing them and not me. I'd never make it. Too fat.
Ragear's voice trailed off. He fumbled with his whiskers, wilting beneath the basilisk stare of Shadow's dead black eyes. He shuddered and fell silent. Within 10 minutes, Clooney was back. He nodded up at the parapet.
I've been up and down the length of the wall for a fair distance. The sentry mice are all asleep, the fools. They've never had to do guard duty before. As soon as night falls, so do their eyelids. That's what soft living does for you.
Ragear's head bobbed in agreement.
You're right, Chief. If they were in our army and old Red Tooth caught them snoozing, he'd...
Shut your trap, stupid, Clooney hissed. Are you ready, Shadow? Now don't forget your instructions.
Shadow bared his yellowed fangs and started climbing. Slowly, he made his way upwards like a long black reptile, his claws seeking hidden niches and crevices in the sandstone. Ever upwards, sometimes stopping spread-eagled against the surface as he figured out his next movement, taking full advantage of every crack and joint in the wall. No other animal in Cluny's army could have attempted such an ascent, but Shadow was a climbing expert. He concentrated his whole being on the job in hand, sometimes clinging to the stones by no more than a single claw. Below on the ground, Cluny and Ragir strained their eyes upwards. They could hardly make out his shape. He was not far from the top of the wall. Shadow shifted position and levered with his back legs and tail. Now he wedged his claws into a fissure and stretched upwards, gaining inch by inch. On the top of the wall, Brother Edmund was snoring gently. He was nestled in a pile of rubble, wrapped in a warm blanket with his hood up against the light rain. Edmund was oblivious to the long, sharp claws that latched themselves over the parapet edge. A moment later, the sleek black head appeared. Two dense obsidian eyes stared at the sleeping mouse. Shadow had succeeded in climbing the abbey wall. Like a sinuous black lizard, he slithered past slumbering creatures in around rubble heaps, never once making a sound. Friar Hugo mumbled gently in his sleep and moved his head so that his cowl slid off. Drizzle fell upon the fat friar's face, threatening to wake him. Gently as a night breeze, Shadow replaced the hood. Pausing for an instant, Shadow looked about before descending the stone steps from the ramparts to the cloisters. Using shrubs and bushes as cover, he moved furtively forwards, never taking any needless chances or making sudden movements. Sometimes he stopped and waited, letting the minutes tick away as he planned his next progression, gliding like a cloud's shadow cast upon the ground by the moon. The door to Great Hall was not locked. Shadow judged that the latch was probably old and creaky. He took out the vial of oil and lubricated the latch and hinges. Carefully, he inched the door ajar. Apart from a tiny squeak, it swung effortlessly open. Sliding inside, he released the door by mistake. A swift night breeze slammed it shut with a dull thud. Shadow cursed inwardly and flung himself behind a nearby pillar. He lay inert, not daring to breathe. 1, 2, 3 minutes. Good. Nobody had been disturbed by the noise. He ventured out to inspect the tapestry that hung upon the wall. A black moth on a moonless night would not have escaped Shadow's notice. He needed no lamp to scrutinize the thing before him. So, this was the picture of the warrior mouse that Cluny lusted after. Using his razor-sharp fangs, he began gnawing into the ancient tapestry, working from the tasseled hem upwards. Matthias tossed and turned in his bed, exhausted but unable to sleep. His mind revolved around a host of problems and schemes. The sword, Martin's grave, defense of the abbey, cornflower. Finally, after much kicking and rumpling of sheets, sleep started to take over. He was somewhere in a long, deserted room, not unlike Great Hall. A voice called to him. Matthias!
Oh, go away! The young mouse muttered drowsily. Get someone else, I'm tired.
But the voice persisted, boring into his mind. Matthias, Matthias, I need you. He peered down the length of the darkened hall.
What is it? Why do you need me?
Matthias began to walk towards the voice. He could hear a wicked snigger followed by a cry of despair.
Matthias, help! Don't let them take me!
He ran forwards. The hall seemed to grow longer.
Who are you? Where are you?
Far ahead in the murky darkness, Matthias could vaguely distinguish a figure leaning out from the wall. It was a mouse in armor. "Please, Matthias, you must help me quickly." Bump.
Matthias landed on the floor of his bedroom. Sheets were tangled about his body. Slowly he sat up and rubbed his eyes. What a strange dream. The long hall, the plea for help, the armored mouse. Matthias felt the fur on the back of his neck rising. Of course, it had to be. Great Hall, Martin the Warrior. Something terrible was going on downstairs. He was needed urgently. Matthias kicked the sheets from him as he leaped up and dashed headlong from the bedroom, along the dormitory corridor and helter-skelter down the spiral staircase. Through Cavern Hall he clattered in the darkness, stumbling and tripping over furniture, his heart hammering loudly and legs pumping like twin pistons. Matthias fell over the top stair and went sprawling into Great Hall. He lay on the floor, gazing through the gloom to the tapestry. Martin was still there, but he was moving. Was it the breeze? No, it couldn't be. The likeness of the warrior mouse was jiggling about as though it were being tugged in some way. Matthias could see a shadow, but there was nothing to cast it. He jumped to his feet and ran forwards as the picture of Martin was ripped away from the tapestry. A rat held it. There was no doubt in Matthias's mind. It was a rat, entirely black from tip to tail, barely distinguishable from the night itself. Shadow heard the footsteps on the floor behind him. With cold, calculated detachment, he wheeled about as his opponent charged. He was certain to defeat such a small creature in combat. But his orders were to get the picture, not to fight little mice. Besides, there was always the additional hazard that the mouse might hang on to him and shout for help until it came. Like a wraith of oily smoke, Shadow completed a clever double maneuver. Bowling his body into a forward roll, he knocked Matthias down like a skittle. Bounding up, he slipped around the door, slammed it, and fled off through the cloisters. Matthias sprang up, roaring at the top of his voice. "Stop that rat! Stop that rat!" Immediately, the mice on sentry duty were alerted. As Shadow ran, he saw Constance dash across the grounds at an angle which cut him off from the stairs up to the ramparts. Switching direction, he made for the next set of stairs, silently cursing the badger. Now he would have to use his climbing rope to descend quickly to the road. Matthias emerged from the abbey. He saw Shadow change direction. Thinking fast, he ran diagonally, catching up with the thief at the foot of the stairs. Throwing himself in a flying tackle, Matthias grabbed Shadow by the leg, sending him crashing onto the lower steps. Still clinging to the tapestry, Shadow wriggled like an eel. Turning over onto his back, he kicked savagely at the young mouse's head with a free foot. Matthias tried valiantly to hang on, but his larger and heavier opponent kicked him viciously in the face again and again. The big bony foot with its sharp claws pounding and gouging away soon took its toll. Matthias went limp and blacked out. Constance had mounted the far steps. Gaining the ramparts, she ran along, dodging the heaps of rubble. She saw Matthias go down under the onslaught of kicks and ran even faster, impeded by mice all around who scattered in panic, thinking they were under mass invasion. The only one besides Constance who had the sense to see what was happening was Cornflower's father. Being nearer the top of the stairs than the badger, he ran straight into the intruder. Shadow was struggling to get out of his climbing rope. "Surrender, rat, I've got you!" cried Mr. Fieldmouse as he grabbed hold of the thief. But rummaging in his pouch to free the rope, Shadow's claw had closed on the handle of his dagger. He drew it out swiftly and drove it twice into the field mouse's unprotected body. Constance arrived just as the victim fell wounded. Shadow turned on her with the dagger upraised. Constance swung her paw round in a mighty arc, and it caught Shadow square on the chin. The force of the blow lifted the thief clean off his feet, and before Constance could grab hold of him, he overbalanced and hurtled over the edge of the parapet with a horrible scream. Downwards he plunged, his body thudding off the unyielding masonry. He landed in the wet roadway with a sickening crunch. Clooney came dashing towards the stricken shadow, with Ragear scuttling in his wake. Despite his appalling injuries, Shadow managed to lever himself up on one paw.
"Clooney, I'm hurt. Help me," he gasped.
The piece of tapestry lay upon the road. Clooney snatched it up eagerly. Behind him he could hear the gatehouse bolts being withdrawn amid the shouts of angry mice. Ruthlessly he kicked at Shadow's broken body.
"Get up and run for it, or stay there, fool. I don't carry cripples or bunglers."
Leaving the injured Shadow to the mice, Clooney sped off across the road. He covered the width of the ditch with a mighty leap and ran off across the meadows. In open country, he could outdistance any mice that dared follow him. Waving the tapestry, Clooney laughed in exhilaration as he put on an extra burst of speed. Ragear had panicked completely. He could not jump the ditch, so he scuttled off down the road in the opposite direction from the way they had come. A group of mice, led by Brother Alf, tried fording the ditch and climbing up into the meadow. Unfortunately, the rain had made the going hard and slippery. Clooney was long gone, and the tapestry with him. Turning back to Redwall, the pursuers came upon Matthias. He was leaning on Friar Hugo's arm in a dazed condition. Painfully, he staggered up the road to where Shadow lay. Wincing, he cast about, searching the muddy roadway for the fragment of tapestry.
"It's got to be here somewhere," cried Matthias.
He fell upon the injured Shadow, searching his waist pouch, his flat black eyes clouding over. Shadow watched Matthias. Laconically he spoke. His voice was strangely calm.
"Too late, Mouse. Martin is with Clooney now."
It was the last thing Shadow ever said. He gave one final shudder and lay dead. Chapter 15. Dawn arrived as if it were aware of the previous night's events. Heavy grey skies and steady rain prevailed over Redwall and the Mossflower area. Abbot Mortimer looked old and stern as he addressed the assembly in Cavern Hall. The atmosphere was decidedly subdued.
"Sleeping at your posts, allowing the enemy into our abbey to steal that which we hold most dear. Is this the way you defend us?"
The abbot's shoulders slumped wearily. There was an awkward hush. Anger and guilt lay thick upon the air. The kindly old mouse shook his head and held up a conciliatory paw.
"Forgive me, friends. I criticize you unjustly. We are all creatures of peace, unskilled in the art of war. Yet when I saw the late rose this morning, I could not help but notice that its leaves are all shriveled. The tiny rosebuds have died. Martin the warrior is gone from our abbey. He has left Redwall. We are forsaken. There will be hard and sorrowful days to come without him among us."
The mice and woodland creatures shuffled their feet and gazed at the floor. They knew the truth in their Father Abbot's words. But hope springs eternal. There was one voice raised, that of Matthias.
"A bit of good news," he said. "I have just come from the infirmary. Mr. Field Mouse is out of danger. He will live."
The relief was audible throughout Cavern Hall. Tensions were eased. Even the abbot temporarily forgot his gloomy predictions.
"Thank you, Matthias," he cried. "What heartening news. I must say that the terrible injuries received by Mr. Fieldmouse almost had me believing the worst. But look at yourself, my son. You should be resting. Your face is still swollen after the fight with the black rat."
Matthias gave a lopsided grin. He shrugged cheerfully.
Don't worry about me, Father Abbot. I'll be all right. The mice smiled with pride. A brave little warrior, Matthias. He put new heart into them. Their resolve strengthened as he continued. Ha! Black rat indeed. He didn't even scratch me. Well, only a bit. But where is he now, this sly one? Deep under the soil, if the insects are doing their job properly. Listen to me, friends. We of Redwall are a tough lot to kill off. They couldn't finish Ambrose Spike, could they? Why, even the Black One, armed with a dagger, couldn't slay Mr. Fieldmouse. So what's a scratch or two to a mouse like me? Cheers for Matthias's speech rang to the rafters. Constance sprang up beside him, shouting heartily. That's the spirit, friends. Now let's see you all back out there at your posts. We'll be wide awake this time, and heaven help any dirty rats that come marching up to Redwall this day. With wild yells very uncharacteristic of peaceful mice, the friends seized their staves and charged out, fired with new zeal. After a while, Constance accompanied the abbot to see Mr. Fieldmouse, while Matthias went with Methuselah to Great Hall. Together they surveyed the torn tapestry. The young mouse stood with his paws folded, an expression of disgust upon his features. The old gatekeeper patted his shoulder. I know how you feel, Matthias. I could see you were only putting on a brave face for the benefit of the others. That is good. It shows you are learning to be a wise leader. You hide your true feelings and encourage them not to give up hope. Matthias gingerly touched the swellings on his face. Aye, that's as may be, old one. But you can see as well as I that Martin is gone. Without him, I do not think we can win. Methuselah nodded in agreement. You are right, my young friend. But what's to be done? Matthias staggered slightly. He leaned against the wall, rubbing a paw across his brow. I don't know. In fact, the only thing I know right now is that the abbot was right. I think I'd better go and lie down for a bit. Refusing Methuselah's help, the young mouse left the old one gazing at the torn tapestry. He tottered off unsteadily in the direction of the dormitory. On the spiral staircase, he met Cornflower. Hello there, he said, as cheering as he could. How is your father? Cornflower looked at Matthias solicitously. He's doing fine, thank you, Matthias. I'm just going to get some herbs for the abbot. Shouldn't you be lying down? Your face looks terribly puffy. Matthias winced and leaned against the banister. Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to my room for a good long rest. But don't you worry. Before long, I'll make those rats pay dearly for hurting your father. Matthias staggered weakly into his room. But the moment he closed the door, he became a different mouse. With bright, eager eyes, he groped under his bed and brought forth the waist pouch that had belonged to Shadow. Tucking the long dagger into his belt, he wrapped the climbing rope around his shoulder and said aloud to himself, Right, Clooney. You and I have a score to settle. Keeping a mound of earth between himself and Brother Rufus, Matthias silently looped the rope around a projection at the edge of the parapet. Fortunately for him, Rufus was looking in the opposite direction. Matthias started to slide down the rope on the mossflower side of the wall, where the woods came close up to the abbey. He had imagined the descent would be very difficult, and surprised himself by handling it with ease, his confidence growing as he slid swiftly and noiselessly to the fern-covered ground. Crouched in the undergrowth, he mentally rehearsed his plan of action. He would go through the woods to St. Ninian's Church, avoiding the road that was being watched by sentries. Once at the church, he would discover where the piece of tapestry was kept. Then he would create a diversion of some kind. While Clooney's horde was occupied, he would snatch the tapestry and get back to Redwall with all speed. Matthias ducked deeper into the ferns, and was soon just a silent ripple, making through the lush summer green of Mossflower towards the Church of St. Ninian.
Chapter 16. At the camp of Cluny the Scourge, the rat army was girding itself up for war. Weapons were being sharpened upon churchyard headstones. Under the critical eye of Redtooth, a band of rodents was gnawing off a length of planking from a rickety lich-gate fence at the rear of the church. Others collected stones to provide ammunition for slings, while some coiled ropes about their bodies. Inside the church, Cluny sat up in the choir loft, the image of barbaric authority. He held the scourging tail in one claw, while gripped in the other was his war standard, topped by the ferret skull with the addition of the tattered tapestry square depicting Martin the Warrior. He gazed proudly at it as his armorer dressed him for war. At Cluny's feet were the Vole family. They were bound. He flicked his tail at them and sneered.
"Ha! Look at me, you spineless little creatures. Did you ever see such a leader of fighting animals as Cluny the Scourge? Soon I will have every creature that moves down on its bended knees to me."
Mr. Abram Vole glared defiantly at his captor.
"You filthy, great-billed rat, why I'll—" "Silence!" roared Cluny. "Hold your tongue, Vole, or I will deal with you and your family here and now before I set out to conquer your precious abbey. Do you see my new battle flag? That is Martin the Warrior. Yes, the same one who is supposed to protect that doddering old abbot and his witless mob of mice. Now Martin is mine. It is more fitting that he travels at the head of real warriors. He will lead us to victory."
Cluny ranted and raved on, the light of madness in his eye.
"Death and desolation shall be the reward of those who dare stand against Cluny. The only ones I will spare are those I might choose to serve me."
Mrs. Vole struggled upright, but was forced back down by Scumnose and Fangburn. Chattering with rage, she shouted at Cluny,
"You'll never bend Redwall to your evil will. Good will prevail. You'll see, Cluny. We are tied up, but our minds are free."
Crack!
Cluny lashed out with his long tail, sending the Vole family flat upon the floor. Mr. Abram Vole struggled to shield his wife and son with his body as the tail flailed out a second time.
"A touching little speech, Vole. But you wrong me. I don't want to capture the spirit of Redwall. I mean to kill it. Take these whining creatures out of my sight. Lock them in the hut out the back. Leave them to imagine what their fate will be when I return."
Colin Vole shrieked in terror. His mother and father struggled bravely as they were dragged off. Redtooth marched in and saluted Cluny.
"The horde is ready to march, chief."
A rat armorer set the war helmet firmly upon Cluny's head. He snapped the visor down and kicked aside the rat who had fixed the poison barb on his tail. Striding out into the churchyard, Cluny climbed up on the wrecked gatepost. His fierce eye gazed out across the mighty army. Black rats, brown rats, grey rats, piebald rats, skulking weasels, furtive stoats and sinuous ferrets all gathered round, their weapons glistening and dripping with the rain. As Cluny exhorted them, they roared back their frenzied replies.
"Where does Cluny's army go?"
"Redwall! Redwall!"
"What is the lore of Cluny?"
"Kill! Kill! Kill!"
"Who will lead you to victory?"
"Cluny! Cluny! Cluny the Scourge!"
Springing down among his army, the warlord waved the banner high overhead.
With a mighty shout, the horde of Cluny the Scourge marched out upon the road to Redwall Abbey.
Chapter 17. Ragir was hopelessly lost. Separated from Cluny, he could not think for himself. Scuttling off down the road in the wrong direction, he had kept on going in a state of funk. Frightened by the sound of a bird chirping suddenly, he rushed blindly into Mossflower Wood and pressed on deeper and deeper into this strange new territory. It was only with the arrival of pale dawn that he stopped, slumping down under some bushes. Exhausted, soaking wet and dispirited, he curled up into a wretched damp ball and slept. Sometime about mid-morning, Ragir was awakened by the sound of footsteps. As Matthias tramped past, he lay low, silently congratulating himself. What a find, a little mouse! He would take him prisoner and bring him back alive to Cluny. That way he could gain some prestige. Cluny might even forget that he panicked and deserted at the abbey. Matthias risked a swift glance over his shoulder. There was a rat clumsily trying to stalk him, a fat, awkward-looking rodent, but nevertheless an enemy. The young mouse strode onwards, his mind working coolly and without fear, confident that he could handle the situation. Breaking twigs underfoot, stumbling ineptly from tree to tree, Ragir watched the mouse and fantasized.
"There was six of them, Chief. They tried surrounding me, but I fought like a devil. Then I says to myself, 'Ragir,' says I, 'you better capture this last one and fetch him back for the chief to question.' Then Cluny'll say to me, 'Ragir, good old Ragir, I knew I could depend on you. Why do you suppose I took you along in the first place? Mangy fur, bring food and wine for my old pal Ragir the Brave.' Oh, yes, then I'll pat the chief on the back and say, 'By Satan's whiskers, you old rodent, have you never thought of retiring and letting me lead the horde? Why, with a gallant warrior like me in comp—'" Thwack!
A long, whippy larch branch sprang forward suddenly. It crashed into Ragir's head, poleaxing him. Matthias stepped out of hiding, rubbing his hands. It had been a strain holding the branch back for so long. Uncoiling Shadow's climbing rope, he bound Ragir paw and claw to a sturdy oak. The young mouse could not afford to wait around for the rat to regain his senses. There was still a deal of travelling to be done. He pressed onwards, leaving his senseless enemy bound to the tree. The rain stopped. Within minutes, the hot June sun burst down on Mossflower as if in apology for its absence. Clouds of steaming mist arose from the woodland floor, mingling with the golden shaft slanting down through the trees. The birds began singing. Each flower and blade of grass was decked out in jeweled pedantry with necklaces of sparkling raindrops. The sudden warmth flooded over Matthias, cheering him onwards. Humming a tune beneath his breath, he strode out with a will, almost breaking from the cover of the trees straight out into the flat meadowland. He checked himself just in time. Directly ahead lay a vast, overgrown area which was neither pasture nor meadow. It was the common land that had once belonged within the curtilage of St. Ninian's. Matthias crouched at the edge of the woods. He could see the back of the church. There were 10 or 12 rats patrolling it, some distance away. Before he dealt with that problem, there was still the common land to be crossed. Clumps of thistle and slight ground hummocks would be his only cover. The young mouse spoke his thoughts aloud. This could present a little problem. A strange voice answered him.
Problem? A little problem? Well, at least it's not a fully grown adult problem.
Matthias squeaked aloud with fright. Whirling about, he looked for the source of the mystery voice. There was no one about. Taking a grip of himself, he squared his shoulders and called out boldly,
come out here this instant and show yourself." The voice answered. It seemed to come from directly in front of him.
"Show myself, indeed. How many pairs of eyes do you want, young fella, eh? Fine state of affairs, bless me soul, what?
Matthias narrowed his eyes and looked hard. Still nothing. "I warn you, come out and show yourself," he shouted irritably. "I'm in no mood for playing games." As if by magic, a lanky hare popped up right beside Matthias. An odd patchworked creature. His fur was an ashen hue with blots of grey and light brown flecked white on the underbelly. He was very tall, with formidable hefty hind legs and a comical pouched face, topped off by two immense ears which flopped about of their own accord. With a courtly, old-fashioned manner, the hare made a leg, bowing gracefully. His voice carried a slightly affected quaver.
"Basil Stag here, at your service, sir. Expert scout, hind-leg fighter, wilderness guide, and camouflage specialist. Liberator of tender young crops, carrots, lettuce, and other such strange beasts. Pray tell me, whom have I the pleasure of addressing, and please state the nature of your little problem."
Matthias decided the peculiar hare was either slightly mad or tipsy, but his outmoded manner was certainly friendly. The young mouse humoured him accordingly, bowing low with a paw at his waist.
"Good day to you, Mr. Basil Stag Hare. My name is Matthias. I am a novice in the Order of Red Wall Mice. My immediate problem is to cross this land to the church over yonder, without being discovered by the rats who are guarding it."
Basil Stag Hare tapped one of his huge feet gently on the ground.
"Matthias," he laughed. "What an odd name, to be sure."
The young mouse laughed back as he replied, "Not half as odd as your name. Whoever heard of a hare being called Basil Stag?" The hare disappeared momentarily. He reappeared next to Matthias.
"Ah, well, here's the family name, don't you know? My parents named me Basil, though the old mater wanted me to be called Columbine Agnes. Always longed for a young lass, she did."
"But why Stag?" Matthias inquired.
"Noble creatures, stags," the hare sighed. "Did I ever tell you I wanted to be one? A magnificent royal stag with great coat-hanger antlers. So I went down to the jolly old river one night and christened myself Stag. Had two toads and a newt as witnesses, you know. Oh, yes."
Matthias was unable to hide his merriment. He sat down and chuckled. Basil started chuckling too. He sat down beside Matthias.
"I think I'm going to like you, me boy," he cried. "Now, what about getting you to that church? Why, there's nothing simpler. But enough time for that later, young Rip. How about telling me what brings you here? I love listening to a good yarn, you know. Oh, by the way, I hope you like fennel and oatcakes. Of course you do. You'll share lunch with me. Of course you will, young un like yourself."
In a flash, Basil had lugged a haversack from the undergrowth and was spreading a repast on the grass between them. For the next half hour, Matthias related his story between mouthfuls of the hare's tasty luncheon. Basil listened intently, interrupting only when he required clarification on some point. Matthias finished his tale and sat back awaiting comment. Basil's long ears flopped up and down like railway signals as he digested his food and his friend's information.
Rats. I knew they'd come eventually, through intelligence on my grapevine, you know. Could feel it in the old ears, too. As for Redwall, I know it well. Excellent type, Abbot Mortimer. Splendid chap. I heard the Joseph Bell tolling out sanctuary message. Ha! Even had some cheeky old hedgehog telling me to run for it. Couldn't go, of course. Dear me, no. That'd never do. Chap deserting his post. Bit of a bad show, what? I prefer me own company, you know. Present company accepted, of course.
Oh, of course, Matthias agreed. He had taken enormously to the hare. Basil sprang up in a smart military fashion and saluted.
Right, first things first. Must get you across to the church, young fellow me mouse.
I say that green thingamajig you're wearing. Habit, isn't it? Capital camouflage. You just try lying down anywhere in the shadows. Believe you me, you'd have trouble finding yourself. Top hole cover, absolutely.
Basil stopped and ruminated for a moment. His ears lay flat, stood up, then pointed in opposite directions. He continued.
Now, when you've liberated your bit of tapestry or whatever, make straight back across the common. I'll be waiting, never fear. Good. Well, come on, young bucko. We can't sit about here all day like two fat rabbits at a celery chew. Up and at 'em. Quick's the word and sharp's the action. Nip about a bit, young'un.
Again Basil vanished, only to reappear some 3 yards out on the common.
Come on, Matthias. Tack to the left and wheel to the right. Bob and weave, duck and wriggle. Look, it's easy.
Matthias hurried to follow, keeping in mind Basil's instructions. Surprisingly, they seemed to work perfectly, and before long the two friends had covered nearly 3/4 of the common land. Matthias could even count the whiskers on some of the rats. He covered his mouth with a paw to stifle a giggle.
It's really very simple, isn't it, Basil? How am I doing?
The hare bobbed up beside him.
Capital! Bung-ho! Like a duck to water, young fella. Flop me ears if you aren't the best pupil I've ever had. By the way, is there anything I can do to help?
Matthias stopped and looked serious.
Yes, there is, Basil. But I feel reluctant to ask you to involve yourself in my fight.
Basil Staghare snorted.
Rubbish! My fight, indeed. Do you fondly imagine that I'd sit there munching at the old nosebag while some ugly Greg Bodent and his band of yahoos run about conquering my countryside? Ha! Never let it be said in the mess that Basil Staghare was backward in coming forward. Ask away, Matthias, you young curmudgeon.
The hare puffed out his narrow chest and stood with paw on heart, his eyes closed and ears standing straight up. He awaited orders. The young mouse, hiding a smile at Basil's noble pose, said admiringly,
Oh, Mr. Hare, you do look heroic standing like that. Thank you.
Basil opened one eye to look at himself. Yes, he did look rather gallant. A bit like the monarch of the glen or the stag at eve. Not that a young mouse would understand anything of that nature. Matthias expressed his wishes to the stag.
Would it be possible for you to create some kind of diversion while I'm getting the tapestry? Could you keep the rats occupied, Basil?
The hare twitched his ears confidently.
Say no more, laddie. You've come to the right stag. Listen carefully. You cut across the flank to their left. They took a piece of planking out of the fence by the lich gate. That's where you'll slide through. When you've got what you came for, then make your exit the same way. I'll be somewhere about, keeping an eye on you. Right off you go.
Matthias went swiftly, still remembering to bob and weave as Basil had taught him. He made it with ease to the fence, glancing back to check on his companion. Basil went into a speedy run. He cleared the fence top at a bound and tapped the nearest rat on the back.
I say, old thing, where's this leader fella? Clooney or Looney, whatever you call him.
Completely staggered, the rat stood slack-jawed. Basil left him and popped up beside another rat.
Phew! Dear, dear, don't you chaps ever take a bath? Listen here, you dreadful creature. Do you realize that you smell to high heaven? By the way, did your parents ever call you Pongo, or did they smell as bad as you?
It took the rat sentries a moment or two to recover from their surprise. Then they let out yells of rage and tried to seize the impudent hare. It was like trying to catch smoke with their claws. Basil ran rings round them, keeping up a steady stream of insults and adding to the rats' bad temper. They shouted angrily,
Grab that big skinny rabbit, lads! Big skinny rabbit yourself, cat's meat! I'll stick his damn guts on my pike! Temper, temper! Tart, tart, such language! If your mother could hear you! Blast!
He's as slippery as a greased pig.
Some of my best friends are greased pigs, Bottlenose. Oops, missed me again, you old butterfingers, you.
Matthias chuckled quietly and shook his head in admiration. He watched 12 rats falling over each other and bumping heads as they chased his friend around the common land. Every now and then, Basil would pause and strike his noble stag attitude, letting the rats get to within a whisker of him. Nimbly, he would kick out with his long, powerful legs and send them all sprawling in a heap. Adding insult to injury, he danced around the fallen sentries, sprinkling them with daisies until they arose, cursing him to continue the chase. Wary that there might be other rats about, Matthias climbed into the church through a broken stained-glass window. He dropped down into the Lady Chapel. The young mouse wrinkled his nose in disgust. The beautiful old church was rank with the heavy odor of rats. Furniture was overturned, statuary broken, walls stained. The pages of torn hymn books lay about everywhere. Where was the fragment of tapestry, and where was Cluny with the rest of his army? Instant realization sent a leaden weight thudding into the pit of Matthias's stomach. They had gone to attack Redwall. Cluny must have the tapestry with him. Matthias felt sick at the thought. Hastily, he climbed back out of the window. Halfway across to the fence, he noticed a small shed. Somebody was pounding upon its locked door and called his name aloud.
"Matthias, quickly! Over here in the hut!"
Through a small gap in the door, he could see the Vole family. Their paws were tightly bound. Colin Vole huddled piteously on some dirty sacking in a corner, while Mr. Abram Vole and his wife battered away at the door with their paws tied together. Matthias called through the crack to them.
"Stop banging! Stay quiet! I'll have you out of there as soon as I can break the lock."
Matthias cast about for something that would force the padlock and hasp. Doubtless some rat had the key, but there was no time for that. By a stroke of luck, he found an iron spike that had been thrown at Basil by one of the rats. Forcing the spike in the hoop of the lock, Matthias levered away.
"It's not budging," he muttered.
From the corner, Colin Vole started to weep aloud.
"I won't be locked in here until Cluny gets back. I don't want to face him again. Do something, Matthias. Save me."
Despite the Vole's wretched predicament, Matthias could not help showing his contempt for Colin.
"Do stop whining, Colin. It doesn't help matters, and keep your voice down. There may still be rats about. Try to be brave like your mum and dad."
In his frustration, Matthias swung the spike at the lock. It bounced off, lodging deep between the hasp and the woodwork. He grunted in exasperation, pulling it savagely towards himself to loosen it. Taken off balance, he went head over tail. The hasp had broken. It came away, bringing with it some twisted rusty screws. The door swung open. Drawing his dagger, Matthias hastily cut the bindings from the paws of the voles, issuing orders as he worked.
"Follow me and do as I say. Move as quickly and quietly as you can."
Cautiously, they slid through the broken fence and began making their way across the common. There was no sight of the rat sentries. Matthias guessed that they were off somewhere, still trying to catch the elusive hare. It was mid-afternoon. The common was peaceful and sunny. Butterflies perched on thistle flowers, and grasshoppers serenaded each other with their ceaseless cadences. Abram Vole insisted on shaking Matthias by the paw and congratulating him.
"Matthias, thank you with all my heart for saving my family. We thought we were doomed."
The young rescuer looked grim.
"We're not back home yet by any means, Mr. Vole, and even if we do make it to the Abbey, I dread to think what we may find."
Mrs. Vole nodded vigorously.
"Aye, we saw them leave the church to march on Redwall. Clooney was leading the villains with Martin's picture tied to his banner. My, oh my, you never did see so many wild rascals in all your born days.
Matthias's brow creased in a worried frown. I wish I hadn't sneaked off from the Abbey this morning. I do hope Constance has all the defenders on the alert. It was only seconds later that Matthias wished he had also been on the alert. The sentry rats had become tired of chasing Basil. Wearily they made their way out of the woods and back to the common land. They sat on the grass behind a low hummock, taking a break together. Matthias and the Vole family walked straight into the middle of them. Chapter 18. Clooney massed his forces in the roadside ditch opposite Redwall Abbey. He stood well back in the meadow behind the ditch, surrounded by his captains. Here, where he was out of range, he could direct the entire operation. But at the moment, he was not having things all his own way. For a start, he did not have many archers. Rats are notoriously bad at bow-making and the fletching of arrows. From the ramparts of Redwall, the field and harvest mice sent down volley after volley of tiny arrows, which, while they had no great killing power, were causing much wounding and discomfort in the ranks of Clooney's horde. Standing beneath his banner, which was rammed into the earth, Clooney cracked his tail.
Redtooth, Darkclaw, tell the sling-throwers to stand ready. When I give the signal, I want to see a good heavy barrage of stones hitting the top of that parapet. That'll make them keep their heads down. Frogblood, Scumnose, you too will organize the gangs with the scaling ladders and grappling hooks. See they all get up on top of that wall, and no blunders.
The rat captains marched off to the ditch to make ready. Clooney held his tail up to give the signal. On top of the wall, the mouse archers kept up their relentless hail of arrows into the ditch. Constance strode up and down, holding a heavy cudgel in her paws as she urged them on.
That's the stuff to give 'em, mice! Keep those bows twanging!
Knowing the supply of arrows was not endless, the badger looked to the heaps of rubble and stone along the parapet edges.
Brother Rufus, Formal, be ready to shift that lot overboard at a moment's notice.
Smack, clank, bang, thud. A hail of sharp stones and pebbles whizzed upwards, rattling against the masonry, as Clooney waved his tail in the meadow below. Taken unawares, several mice were felled and a mole lay stunned.
Get your heads down, everyone! Lie flat! Constance shouted.
The defenders instantly obeyed as the showers of missiles increased. Running along the ramparts, bent double, the abbot cried out,
"Stretcher-bearers, over here! Help me to get the casualties down into the cloisters!"
Winifred the Otter lay alongside Constance and whispered to her,
"Hear that scraping? Clooney's lot are putting something against the walls. It's my guess they'll be trying to climb up while we've got to lie low."
Even as Winifred spoke, two grappling hooks with climbing ropes attached came clanging over the parapet and lodged in the joints.
"Stay low, my friends," whispered Constance. "Give them a bit of time to get off the ground. I want plenty of rats to be high up before we make a move. Pass the word along."
Below in the meadow, Redtooth waved his cutlass and laughed wildly.
"Your plan is working out, Chief. Look, there's old Fangburn and his gang nearly at the top of the wall."
Clooney lifted his visor to get a better view. It was too late to call out against what he saw happen next. A veritable avalanche of earth and rocks cascaded over the parapet. It smashed straight onto the main ladder. Rats screamed aloud and gasped at midair as they were swept from the ladder to the road below. The ladder fell sideways, cannoning into another one that had been set up beside it. As both ladders fell, there were scenes of mass chaos. Badly wounded and shocked, the survivors on the roadway tried to crawl back to the safety of the ditch, only to be buried beneath rubble which thundered down on them. Many lay trapped beneath the heavy ladders